From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Is it possible for something to be both under and overappreciated? If anything fits that description, it might just be a city park. We can take them for granted and just walk or drive on by and never even consider how one came about and what resources are needed to maintain it. But when we start thinking about the amenities that help define what good quality of life means for a city, parks suddenly become a huge plus. And like anything that adds to a community benefit, parks need resources and money to survive. Today on the show, you'll hear from the executive director of the Eugene Parks Foundation, which exists to fund, maintain, and create exceptional parks in Eugene. The organization wants to create parks that aren't just for families with young children, but spaces that cater to everyone at every stage of life. If you go on Google Maps and look at Eugene, you see a lot of green spaces. And much of that green represents city parks that help define who we are as a city and community. Today on the show, you'll hear why that's no accident and why it takes a huge effort to make our parks better and better. Ariel Leisman, the first executive director of the Eugene Parks Foundation, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Why don't we start with this? You know, give us the 30,000-foot view of what is the Eugene Parks Foundation? What do you do?
Well, Eugene Parks Foundation build exceptional parks around Eugene and on the outskirts of Eugene. And when we say parks, I mean parks and playgrounds and trails, all compounded in one word, parks. We use a public-private mechanism to fuse private investments with general funding resources that are available in the city.
Okay. So talk about that coordination, because obviously I think most people are familiar with like a city having a parks and recreation department. So how do you liaise and work with them?
So the city did an excellent job a few years ago visioning a 30-year master plan for the parks. And out of this 30-year master plan, they went to the voters in 2018, and the voters decided on a bond measure and a levy to support development of parks. So from this used to be $300 million plan, the bond itself, that is a 10-year plan that will end up around 2028, is only 17% of the plan. So the reality is that there's never going to be enough public funding to meet up all the needs, and the needs are growing and growing and growing. And so this is where we plug in, and then we go to and find private resources.
I see.
And supplement what the city is doing in coordination, but independently in some ways. So we get to determine, which is crucial for us, determine the level of the parks that we want to build, and we call it the exceptional parks vision.
I see.
And there's a difference between a park and an exceptional park.
And what is that difference?
That's a great question. For us, an exceptional park, and I was fortunate enough in my years to work for different municipalities that really leverage the outdoor space to become more than a green space for leisure and enjoyment, but also become an economic catalyst, become a prevention for health symptoms, and by just putting in amenities that draw people in. Funny enough, and I think it's an issue that occupy us here in Eugene, public safety, public safety in parks specifically.
Sure.
When you have an exceptional park that draws in tens and hundreds of people, then all these normalized and positive behavior decrease the adverse behavior that might sometimes happen in parks.
I see.
So if you want to really increase our public safety, exceptional parks is the answer. The other components of an exceptional park is having a diversified amenities in the parks. And so if you're a parent for a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, you probably are fine. In Eugene or in any other city, you have a swing, you have a slide, you have a structure, fine.
I know it well.
Right. But what happens when you're 10? What happens when you're 16?
Okay.
26, 56. are parks still relevant?
Hmm.
And most of them are not.
Hmm.
Not enough walking trails, not enough fitness stations, not enough extreme experience that fit my 12-year-old but doesn't fit my 8-year-old or 6-year-old.
Hmm.
And so how do you create a system that has offering for all interests and different age groups?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The next component, which is crucial for drawing in people to use the park, is accessibility. And so the science tells us that a park should be located in a quarter of a mile to half a mile away from your doorstep, or else you're most likely not to use it.
Interesting.
And so we need to close the gaps. The gaps in you know, we're looking at the map, so people can have a walkable access to an exceptional park experience.
I imagine that it might be a situation where, you know, a city can't have too many parks. I realize it can't all be parks, but obviously what you're talking about is the fact that, you know, parks are something that enhance the livability, the quality of life of a city. And so, you know, the more we can have, the more people benefit. And I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, my kids are grown and in college. And so it's kind of like schools. It's like, I may not directly benefit from a school because my kids are out of it now, but I do because better schools mean higher property values and so on and so forth. I imagine parks probably fit in that role as well.
20% increase in property value when your house is in proximity to an exceptional park.
Wow, wow, 20%. Interesting. Wow, that's fascinating.
It's an economic incentive to live next to a viable, attractive park. But more than that, your college kids, when they come visit, right, do they use the park? Mm-hmm. They probably not, unless we start putting things like a pump track or a ninja course obstacle or something that is more to their level of entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what we did is we mapped whatever we have in Eugene, and we're focused on places that are underserved, not just demographically underserved, but areas that don't have enough access to exceptional park and exceptional parks experience. And so we build a capital project that will install spray plays and fitness stations and nature-based playground, which is much better than this plastic metal structures that we, you know, we use. And we're now raising the money to build them one by one, park by park.
Wow, wow. Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Ariel Leisman. He is the executive director for the Eugene Parks Foundation. So, talk about building parks. Do you also, is part of the plan to retrofit and add to existing parks? Talk about that in terms of new versus renovation.
Definitely. I mean, we are blessed with a great park system. And the city of Eugene, in my view, is doing an amazing job in developing, maintaining and developing it. Not without a fault, not without problem,
sure,
but doing an amazing work developing and maintaining. We have a lot of existing resources to work with. We don't need to reinvent parks. And you, I mean, there are some spaces, there are some black spots that maybe can use more open space, but we have enough for now to go in and build amenities that are exceptional and that invites our community.
Yeah. Talk about, and you don't have to use a specific name of a park or something like that, but talk about the process of perhaps seeing a park that isn't exceptional, that has issues, and kind of talk about the visioning, the getting the input from the city, from other organizations, building that plan so that you can go out and raise funds to say, if we get this kind of funding model, we can take this park from a C minus to an A or something like that.
So the secret sauce for building an exceptional park, which is a park that is being used all the time, is, again, location, So one thing that is very interesting is finding strategically locations that can serve schools in the morning mm-hmm. and the community in the afternoon. So go near school. And we're working now with the school district to figure out a way to collaborate on that. So the kids can use it in the morning as part of their PE program, curriculum, or just as in recess, right? And then when school is out, then the community can use it. So it's about location. And it's about what awaits you in it. Right, and can you use it until from morning to evening? The one of the secret components that we found to be very attractive is double down on the art, on the artistic delivery. And I think if I ask you what is the most beautiful park you ever seen somewhere in your traveling,
sure,
do you have an answer? There's a certain spot you go to?
Wow. Well, I'm a native San Franciscan. I think Golden Gate Park is wonderful. It's huge. It has its issues. Not all the parts of the park are great, but certainly that leaps to mind because there's so much sort of integration with the community at Golden Gate Park.
Right. And one of the things that hit you when it's a park with an artistic delivery is that it hits all sensors, right? You smell it, you feel it, you see it, you hear it, and not just with your body, but with your mind and soul. And so the artistic delivery, the location, the amenity that must be top notch and relevant to different age group, and this is what makes what makes the difference between a park and an exceptional park. We have a lot of opportunities here in town to go into a pocket park, a community park, or even on a trail, build more trails, which is a thing here in Eugene. I don't know if you've heard. People like to hike.
Sure.
But how do you, when you go into a park, how do you weave in a story, a narrative to that experience? So can we build a park that will tell the story of, and I'm gonna throw in some examples. Can we build a park that will tell the story of Tracktown, USA? There's only one place in the United States that is Tracktown, USA. How do we connect that story to our kids and to our families? Can we build a park, an experience that will celebrate the timber industry that is so much part of our DNA? Can we tell the story about the environment, the geography, all these other wildlife, nature? We have so many stories to tell in Eugene. And so this is the one of the last components, I think, in the exceptional park is weaving in a narrative, a story that will help you connect to the place.
It's interesting, as you're talking, I'm thinking, is the building of an exceptional park, is it that you want to take advantage of what's already there? Obviously, here in the Willamette Valley and in Eugene, there is so much, native plants and trees that already sort of exist in our urban landscape. Is that part of it that if you want to create a new park is to let's already utilize what were there versus having to bring in a lot of, plants and trees to make the park?
I think it's a fusion.
Okay.
It's a fusion of both. Definitely, just for being cost effective, using the current resources and just upgrading it, upgrading it to be relevant to today's needs and wants. And what my parents needed from the outdoors was different than what I needed from the outdoors. It's definitely different than what my girls need from the outdoors.
Sure.
The stimulation level is different. And so sometimes, for me, just being out there is enough.
Yeah.
Just enjoying God's creation, and that's enough. For my kids, they don't understand what's the difference between Sweet Creek and Salt Creek Trail. there's a trail. there's a river, there's a forest, and we walk. And so we need to supplement or add layers of engagement to that experience. And it's again the amenities that waits for us, and it's the story that waits for us, and it's the visual and this, and you know, how many sensors are working when we're there. There's one more thing that is very important, and I think that's probably one of the challenges in pushing for an exceptional park system. What's the urgency? Right. I mean, we have so many challenges.
Sure. So many priorities.
Right. So how do you prioritize that? Which seems like a very worthy cause, uplifting, cherry on the cake, but. What's the urgency here? And I think the urgency goes back to understanding how prevention is better than treatment. Prevention is cheaper than treatment. And so having an exceptional park system will increase our well-being, will increase our mental health, physical health, reduce, and we have the numbers, reduce obesity rates, reduce diabetes, reduce depression, and anxiety, and increase our property value, increase our economic ability, right? And so we can, by investing in park system, we're gonna save later on down the road on treatment, and our, you know, the health indicators shows us that we are not doing good.
Sure.
And there's a way to interject that trajectory and turn the momentum. And that is by investing in prevention, which is investing in a park system.
Sure. Well, talk about the Eugene Parks Foundation and kind of where you are in your process of realizing your master plan, and where can the public engage with the Eugene Parks Foundation? Because I imagine public input and that sort of thing is an important part of your overall process.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. We need buy-in from the community. Mm-hmm. We need people to acknowledge that us, follow us, be part, put their feedback in, and also put us in their, you know, planned giving, whatever that looks like.
Sure.
Because it is, at the end of the day, it is a private-public partnership, and the way for us to implement and impact that that vision is by leveraging private resources. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where we are right now, I mean, Eugene Parks Foundation has been around for 20, 21 years.
Okay.
Only 3 years. In the last 3 years, we had a staff person,
okay,
which is moi. but we were able to secure over $1.5 million already in securing parkland and building trails. So we're getting a lot of momentum, but we need more people to follow and adopt that idea that, and I'm going to say, it's, maybe it will sound ridiculous, but... more people that understand that we deserve an exceptional parks. It's part of our quality of life, and we should not live another day without it.
Yeah. I'm thinking too, as you're talking, you know, I've talked to other people about quote unquote silver linings from the pandemic, because obviously the vast majority of it was horrible, of course, but there were things that nonprofits learned, but I'm during the pandemic. But I'm also thinking, boy, you know, where would we have been without open spaces like parks, where people could get out of their house and go into a place and feel safe and enjoy nature? I imagine that, you know, that COVID might have been one of those silver linings for outdoor spaces that we maybe took for granted and now realize how critical they are.
You cannot overstate that. This is, the outdoors and our parks saved us during the pandemic. And it's just to prove how, you know, the benefit of being there for our mental health and physical health, to prove that we cannot do without them, but they need to be equipped to facilitate us, to make us come back the day after day and in bigger numbers. There's one example that was very much exploded through the pandemic. I mean, gyms.
Yeah,
gyms were closed,
sure, sure.
Right? And then people couldn't exercise. And we're part of our capital project is installing fitness stations, exercise stations in,
sure,
in existing parks. Fitness stations were considered a big no-no in colder, wetter countries. It very much existing in Israel, where there's a lot of sun and everybody's out all the time.
Sure.
But it's not really cost-effective. I mean, during the pandemic, everybody started installing them because...
Sure.
People were outside,
sure,
all the time, and so this is part of our plan now to build a system of exercise stations for senior citizens, for young adults, ninja courses, so they it will draw in and let people stay outside.
Okay, let's finish with this. You know, what is your hope, maybe for the next 5 to 10 years, for the Eugene Parks Foundation and for parks in general in our city?
Our first challenge is to grow our community of park supporters, people that adopt this exceptional parks vision. And this is why I'm here, to increase awareness and tell my story and tell our story to many people so they can adopt it and understand that we deserve that. And the second one is to help people connect the parks as a solution to the preventive effect to, you know, our quality of life. And so focus on prevention and let, you know, we're working with the health industry now to launch a pilot program called Prescribing Parks, where physicians can prescribe you a prescription to go outside and do the thing. And
yeah,
we on the other side will wait for you there with programs to help you do that. And so we're trying to build that infrastructure that will make parks part of our everyday life.
Well, Ariel Leisman, he is the executive director of the Eugene Parks Foundation. Really appreciate you coming in and talking about the Eugene Parks Foundation and the overall vision of parks in Eugene.
I appreciate the time.
That's the show for today. In case you missed any of this or any other episodes of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear about a unique partnership called Team Oregon Build that both teaches students about construction, but also gets them building much-needed shelters throughout our region. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.